Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Batya Brander, and today we will be studying Hosea Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. In the last chapter, Hosea is instructed to love a woman who betrays. The chapter ends, however, on a beautiful note, describing how the Jewish people will seek out Hashem, Mashiach, and the Beis HaMikdash. Our chapter begins with Shimu Dvar Hashem B'nai Yisrael. Listen, B'nai Yisrael, to the word of Hashem. Some commentaries say that all the previous chapters were really given to Hosea to explain to Hosea what his job is and what he needs to do, but were not actually passed on to the Jewish people. Accordingly, this would be the first chapter that is actually said to the Jewish people. And it is one that is filled with harsh rebukes. Shimu dvar Hashem, B'nai Yisrael. Ki riv la Hashem im yoshvei ha'aretz. Ki ein emes ve'ein chesed ve'ein das Elokim ba'aretz. There's a contention. Hashem has a grievance with the inhabitants of Israel because there is no truth, there is no chesed, kindness, and there is no knowledge of God in the land. Instead, alo, there is swearing, chachesh, denying, ratzoach, murder, ganov, thievery, na'of, adultery, partsu, they breach boundaries or they spread, damim v'damim nagu, and blood reaches blood, either referring perhaps to the murders or perhaps the incestual relations that they've had and the, so to speak, mixing of bloods. It's the pasuk quoted by the Gemara when it talks about Nebuzaradan's murdering many, many Jews in order to avenge the blood of Zechariah, blood meaning blood. It had a chilling significance for me because I was teaching this pasuk in class on the very anniversary of October 7th. This list of violations of Averos is very reminiscent of the words of the Ten Commandments, where we're instructed not to deny God's name, but rather, and not to swear falsely in God's name, but instead to believe in one God. And there's a mixture of don't murder and don't steal and don't have adultery. A mixture of bein adam l'chevero u'bein adam l'makom, between man and man and between man and God. The Navi continues, Al kein te eval haaretz ve'umlal kol yoshev ba, b'chayas hasada ba'ov hashamayim v'gam d'gei hayam ye'esefu. The land will be destroyed, and not only the land, but the animals and the birds and also the fish in the sea. And it's interesting because it's saying it's going to even be worse than the time of the Mabul where the fish in the sea were spared. Ach ish al yarev v'al yochach ish v'amcha k'merive kohen. In truth, don't rebuke each other because you're each all doing evil. Hashem is telling Hosea that the people are like Korach who fought with Kohanim. V'chashal tahayom, v'chashal gam navi imcha, laila v'demisa imecha. You will stumble along with the false prophets during the day, the way they stumble as if it was night, and Hashem will destroy the congregation of Israel. The Navi then turns to address the Kohanim. Nidmu ami mibli das ki atah das ma'asta. My people have been silenced because they have no das, because you, the Kohanim, despise knowledge. So I will despise or reject you from being a Kohen to me. You forgot Hashem's Torah. I too will forget your children. Contrast that between what Kohen is supposed to do, which is to teach B'nai Israel and lead by example. Verse 7, and just like you've multiplied, so too you have sinned against me. So I will exchange your honor for degradation and disgrace. Pasuches, the sin offerings of my nation you ate, and for their sins your soul yearns. Rashi here says that the Navi himself is describing that the Navi, or maybe the Kohanim, they're actually longing for, excited that the people should sin, and thus have to bring them karbanos so that they'll be able to eat them. This is somewhat reminiscent of the misuse of the children of Eli, who misappropriated the use of karbanos for their own benefit. V'hayach ha'am ka'kohen, and the nation will be like the Kohen, and the Kohen will be the nation. All of them are sinners. U'fakadati alav d'rachav u'ma'al alav ashiv lo. I will visit his ways upon him, and I will requite him for his deeds. This element of mida k'neged mida, people getting what they deserved. And as a result of that, va'achlu v'lo yisba'u, people will eat and they'll never feel satisfied. This is a klala, since we know that there's a tremendous bracha, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta, you should eat, be satisfied, and therefore bless Hashem. is the bracha of actually feeling satisfied when one eats. His nuvelo yifrotsu ki es Hashem azvu lishmar. They will engage in adultery, but they won't be able to have children either from that union, because as the Grush shares, because even things that appear natural, they're really only through hashkacha of Hashem. And therefore, Hashem can withhold the giving of birth. Or perhaps, as Metzudas David says, even with one's wife, it would be considered zinus because the intent is not for one of connection and holiness, but rather purely physical. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Znus v'yayim v'tirosh yikach lev. Adultery, wine, different kinds of wine, takes away the heart. It draws the heart away from service of Hashem. In class, I asked, what are some of the things that we might add to this list that draws us away from Hashem? And one person said technology, and another one said Netflix. Here the Navi is warning us against things that we choose to do in order to create distraction. The Navi continues describing elements of necromancy. Ami be'etzo yishal, people ask of their stick, of their wood. Umaklo yagidlo, and his staff will speak to him. Ki ruach zenunim hit'a, vayiznu mitachas Eloheihem. For the spirit of adultery has led him astray, and he is straying from Hashem. Continuing on the theme of idolatry, Pasuk Gimel, Arashe haharim yizabechu, v'al hagvaos yikateru. On the mountaintops they bring offerings, and on the hilltops they bring incense. Perhaps the difference between the two is that one is a very public gathering and one is more private gathering. Tachas alon ulivna ve'ela, underneath these trees of the alon, the livna and the ela, ki tov tzila, because they have excellent shade. Al kain tiznena b'nosechem b'chalosechem t'na'afena. Therefore, your daughters will commit harlotry and your daughters-in-law will commit adultery. What's the connection between the two? Rashi says, because you connect yourself to Avodah Zarah, like the behavior of the non-Jewish nations, and therefore the non-Jewish nations connect with you, then you marry and you intermarry in them. And your daughters that are born to these unions, that's the girls that we're talking about. And your daughter-in-laws, the ones who your sons marry. And so they're going to just be behaving like their mothers who adulter. Others say, what can you expect when you leave and abandon your women? And instead of providing them with moral guidance, you go off yourself and do unspeakable things, which continue to be described in the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudalid. Lo efkod al benosechem ki tiznena, va'al kalosechem ki tinafna. Kehem im hazanos yiparedu, v'im hakdeshos yizabechu, va'am lo yavin yilabet. I'm not going to judge, I'm not going to punish your daughters and your daughter-in-laws because of their adultery. Why? So one way of understanding the rest of the pasuk is because the husbands or the men are the ones who separated themselves off, went off to the side, im hazonos, with adulterers. The im hakdeshos yizabechu, and they go off to worship idols to bring their offerings together with adulterers and harlots. This is very reminiscent of the Baal Pa'ar, where the women of Midian came to prostitute themselves and then to get the men to do idolatry, ending in the horrible event of Cusbi and Zimri, who Pinchas struck, thus ending the terrible plague. But the interweaving of adultery and idolatry is not new here. So why aren't these women punished? Why are they not held accountable? Either A, because since you did such bad stuff, what could you expect them to have done? They're learning from you. Or possibly, as Rashi says, because the Mesota is no longer going to work anymore for them. Why won't the Mesota work? Either A, because the Mesota only works if the woman alone has been unfaithful, but if her husband has been unfaithful as well, then the Mesota doesn't work. The Das Sofer adds that the Sota waters help create clarity in a relationship. There's a question, is there a faithful relationship or not? Comes the Mesota and it creates a state of peace between the husband and wife because there's complete clarity. But now the serenity would be denied. The situation that will prevail, not only in the matter of Sota, but in everything, there'll be lack of clarity. In the course of many years, Hashem helped Israel resolve many problems in their lives by the means of Nevi'im, Urim V'Tumim, Ruach HaKodesh, and the hearts of Talmidei Chachamim. But however, now on, they're going to be distraught and on their own, incapable of finding solutions to their difficulties. And the Das Sofer adds, in our day, thousands of years of perplexity are behind Israel. The Navi continues by exhorting the people of Yehuda to stay away from the people of Yisrael. Im zone ata Yisrael, al yasham Yehuda. Just because Yisrael is sinned, that doesn't mean that Yehuda should become guilty. Al tavo'u ha-gilgal va'al ta'alu beis aven va'al tishavu chai Hashem. Don't go to these places, Gilgal and Beis Aven, which many understand to be Beis El, which is a place where they placed the actual idol. Yeravam ben Nevat actually placed the golden calf in Beis El. And apparently these two locations, and perhaps others as well, became centers for idol worship. The Navi is exhorting Yehuda to stay away from these locations and not to swear falsely. Pasuk Tezayin, the image of the fattened cow that kicks. Ki kipara sorera sarar Yisrael, because like a fattened cow has Yisrael strayed. Va'ata yir'eim Hashem kecheves bamerchav. And therefore, now, Hashem will send you to pasture like a lamb in a huge area that lacks feed. And so they're going to be searching and trying to figure out what's there, what's available, working very hard for their food. And additionally, you could see that they're unprotected in this place. It's a place of great vulnerability, clearly referring to the possibility of galus. Pasuk Yitzayin, Chavur Atzabim Ephraim, Hanachlo. Ephraim, representing the 10 tribes, the leadership of the 10 tribes, they've connected to idol worship. Atzabim are idols. Hanachlo, leave them alone. Don't connect with them. Don't follow after them. Sar Savam Hazne Hiznu, Ahavu Hevu Kalon Magineha. Let's translate the second half of the pasuk first. Her leaders, meaning the leaders of the 10 tribes, they love to invite disgrace. Sar Savam, when the wine leaves Hazne Hiznu, that's when they adulter. Earlier in the parak, we talked about how wine and adultery take man out of himself and take him away from Hashem, create distractions. Here it's saying that when one goes, the other comes in, as if they're constantly replacing one distraction with another distraction. The Piazetzna Rebbe is quoted as saying, Nefesh ha'adam oheves lehisragesh. The soul of man loves to feel, to experience. And if it's not done in a positive way, it's going to be done in a negative way. And here we have an example of someone who, the minute he comes out of one distraction, of one level of drunkenness, he's going to immediately fill the void by doing something else, one vice after another vice. And now the final pasuk of the perech. Tzara ruach osa b'chnafeha. One way to understand this is that the wind has bound the wings of this bird. We're like a bird that wants to go in one place, but the strong wind has prevented us from going where we want to go and instead takes us to another place. This is clearly representing the idea of being taken into galus, being blown into different locations. Another way to understand this pasuk, tsarar b'chnafeha, is talking about the corners of one's garment that they used to tie up and put their money bag into this tied corner of a garment. And instead of filling it with valuables, ruachosa, it's filled with wind and vanity and hevel and nothingness. And in the end, yevoshu mizvachosam, they're going to realize the embarrassment, the busha. Eventually, they're going to be ashamed by all of the misdirected, misfocused that they've been involved in, all of the idol worship that they've been involved in. This is a chapter that talks about sins and vices, the sin of straying from God, and of instead of turning to God, but denying Hashem, really violating all of the Ten Commandments, and lack of knowledge of God, lack of chesed, and lack of emes, lack of truth. And here the Kohanim are just as culpable as the Jewish people, even though the Kohanim are supposed to be the leaders, therefore they're even held more accountable. They encourage sin so that they can partake in the karbanot, eating a nice meat meal, but ultimately they too will get their punishment, and it will be measure for measure. The vices and distractions are wine and adultery, which people engage in order to distract themselves from service of Hashem. And as the people go off to worship idols, their daughters and daughter-in-laws go off to be adulterers. And what can one expect of them in such a corrupt society? And we'll lose the clarity that comes with things like the Meisota. And we'll live in a state of perpetual confusion. Yehuda is warned to stay away and not to get involved in the activities of Malchus Yisrael because they're completely connected, bonded to idol worship. Additionally, they distract themselves with one vice and then another, filling in all the gaps. Ultimately, they lack the ability to discern between meaningful things and things of no value at all. They have filled their pockets and pocketbooks with things of no value, and ultimately will be ashamed of this behavior. In reflecting on the parak, one might ask themselves, what are the things that we do to distract ourselves from service of Hashem? May Hashem grant us helps that we can walk away from some of those things, so we won't in the end be embarrassed by our behavior saying, wow, how did I spend so much time doing blank, fill in the blank. Thank you for learning Le'ilui Nishmas, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.